Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now, for my wonderful listeners, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had disturbing dreams? Well, I think we all have at one time or another. Can you imagine what it would be like to be living in your own nightmare? Have you ever wanted to know why there is so much child abuse in our world? I think it's that we hear more about it now than we ever did before. Now, would you like to learn what happens when you write a supernatural bestseller thriller? Tell me, have you ever heard of a book called Portrait of Rage? Portrait of Rage, isn't that a great title? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to explore the paranormal world? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. She is an author, and she will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about becoming a best-selling author and also the paranormal experience. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talkware Media and syndicated on 6 networks with over 4.5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. My guest first conceived the idea for Portrait of Rage many years ago. At that time, she wrote stories for her own enjoyment. She was inspired at an early age by the paranormal. She enjoyed having the ability to become someone else, the ability to travel to distant places, and the ability to experience new things, as she wrote. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Cynthia Wise. Hi, Cynthia. How are you today?
I'm just fine, January. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm so happy and pleased to have you on the show. You know, I like to start my interviews off by trying to hear a little bit and have you share with our listeners where your success story began, where you were born, raised, and who your early mentors were.
Well, I was born and raised in Georgia. My writing started when I was a little girl. I remember my first story was about a ghost named Malcolm McDew, and I just loved it, and I still remember him to this day. So I have been writing for as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly for my own enjoyment, and I just didn't think about going, you know, publishing my work until Portrait of Rage. And then I was told so many times, well, why isn't this published? And so that's when I started looking into becoming a professional writer, a novelist.
So how old were you when you first started writing?
Malcolm McDowell came along when I was about 12.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you have any teachers or mentors, people who inspired you to become a writer?
Well, in high school, I was taking a composition course.
Uh-huh.
And we had to write the middle of a story. And I turned in my work, and my teacher accused me of plagiarism.
Oh, dear.
And, yes. And I told her that I would be glad to take an F if she could find the book that I took it from.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so I wound up getting an A++ on that
okay.
And she asked me if she could use my work to represent her at a conference for teachers' best work.
Uh-huh.
So that that kind of gave me a boost of confidence right
sure.
there.
Sure, yeah.
And, plus, you know, I'm just an avid reader, and mm-hmm. I thought, well, I can do this. So that's when my story started getting longer and longer, and I actually got the idea for Eyes of Autumn, the second book in the Marcel Experience.
Okay.
I got the idea for it first, and so on and off, I would write on it, but I went to bed one night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that in-between state between mm-hmm. awake and asleep. And a slideshow started going through my mind.
Oh, okay.
And I jumped up, and before I knew it, I had an outline. And that's where Portrait of Rage came from. So I put Eyes of Autumn on the back burner and started writing Portrait of Rage. So I figured later that it would be very easy to put these two books together, and that's how the Marcel Experience was born.
Okay. Now, what does Marcel mean? Is that a last name or a first name, or what is Marcel? Who is Marcel?
Marcel comes from a character in Eyes of Autumn, the second book. It is an alias for him. I don't know how much I should say. I don't want to give anything away.
I know. I don't want you to give anything away. That's for sure, because we want everybody who's listening to order your book. But I was just curious because I have not had the opportunity to read it. So the Marcel Experience is a character. Now let's talk about the fact that you are psychic and you write about paranormal. When did you first know you were a psychic person?
Well, things have happened to me my whole life. It's just until here recently that I decided to take a course to help me learn how to meditate and to focus. So I learned that all these things that have happened to me over the course of my life, it was because I was a medium channel, mm-hmm. and I was channeling. So I took this course, and it helped me focus. And now my spirit guides, my spiritual guides help me, and I realize that they've been helping me along the whole time while I'm writing. So that's actually how I use my gift, is through my writing. That's how I'm going to get messages out, because I can reach more people that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I use my gift.
How old were you when you knew you had this gift?
Well, I knew that I was intuitive.
Uh-huh.
From teenager.
Oh, okay.
When I was a teenager. I knew I was intuitive, but I never did anything about it. Just here recently, I started more or less kind of coming into myself. I guess I'm a late bloomer. But I just kind of started coming into myself, and I decided to see where it took me. So I found a New Age shop in Woodstock, Georgia here. And I went and took some counseling there from other certified psychic mediums. And I took some classes, and I learned that what to do with this other side of myself. So I'm continually growing as far as my spiritual side. I mean, you have to. That's one reason we were put here on Earth, is to grow and to learn and become as who we're supposed to be, who we're meant to be. And so I've been working on that, and my writing helps tremendously. So,
This is a fascinating interview, and you wrote Portrait of Rage, and we're going to take a break and hear from my wonderful sponsors, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about what inspired you to become this amazing writer. We'll be right back.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, the Supremes, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Four Tops. The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets, and the music of Motown reigns supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. I'm visiting with my guest today, Cynthia Wise. And her story is an interesting story, because during the long process of editing Portrait of Rage, an idea began to take root for her. She had begun another manuscript many years before that she entitled Eyes of Autumn. She realized how simple it would be to integrate the two worlds. It would be simple to let the story flow from one inexplicable, exciting possibility to another. That was like a big light bulb going off for you, wasn't it, Cynthia?
Yes, it was. Because there's so many different aspects of the paranormal that the list is just, it's endless. So I decided to put the two together. Now, Eyes of Autumn is a totally different story than mm-hmm. Portrait of Rage. And Eyes of Autumn will be out October of this year.
Oh, so okay.
I just wanted to make a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
But each book in the Marcel Experience, and the Marcel Experience, it's not exactly a person. It was an alias of a character in Marcel Experience, Eyes of Autumn.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he used that name to open a company. An investigative company. Well, it's more than just an investigative company. They do other things, but you'll have to read the story to find out what. But he used one of his aliases to name his company, and that's the Marcel Experience, because everything is like under the umbrella of Marcel Enterprises.
Okay. And now, what is your, share with my listeners a little bit about your writing process. How do you go about putting together a book? I'm so interested in that because so many writers have different techniques and different ways of approaching it. What is your process like?
Well, I am constantly working. I'm constantly writing, whether it's in my head or on my computer or on paper. When I watch TV, I'm usually tuned in to the History Channel, the Learning Channel, Smithsonian, ID, Discovery, things like that. And I people watch, and I read, and all the while I'm processing information. Mm-hmm. So when an idea takes root, it begins to build, and I let it percolate. And by the time I put it to paper, it has a life of its own and begins to flow.
Uh-huh.
So it tells me where it wants to go.
Okay. So you're telling us that you sit down at your computer and all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own. It pretty much writes itself?
Pretty much. You know, I have the idea and I think about it for a while. And I might make a few notes of where I think it might go. But once I start writing and getting into the story tells me. And so I'm just the instrument. And that's where my guides come in. That's where my spiritual guides come in. And they help lead me. And they help tell the story. So there's messages in this work. And through my writing, through a good story that holds your attention, that turns the pages, that makes you want to finish the story before you put it down, there's messages in there. I'm sure that my guides help me write. For there might be a reader out there that needs something.
Okay.
So that's my writing process. Yes.
Uh-huh. So your guides help write the book. Actually, probably write it, and they have messages for people who they know eventually will read your book. You know, I've had that experience myself when I was writing. Sometimes I would write late into the night, early hours of the morning. I would then save it on my computer, go to bed, wake up in the morning, and open it up and read it and think, oh my gosh, who wrote this?
Yes, that happens to me quite often.
Yeah,
I will read back what I have written and go, wow, where'd that come from?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I have to share with our listeners that this is called channeling. And so for so many of you out there who are thinking about writing a book, this is a good way to do it, just to
yes,
go
it
to
is.
your go to your computer, let the words flow. Do not try to edit them. Do not try to be an editor or publisher. Just let them flow. And the next morning, you will be amazed at what comes through. I think this happens more often than people realize. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. I think we are living in a new age. I think that's changing. I think we are living in a new age, and there are more people opening their mind to new things. Pretty soon, skeptics are going to be the minority. I truly believe that. So, yes, I think people channel and don't realize it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I see that happening. And the, you know, it's interesting. The older I get, the more I see it. So I think once you get to a certain age, you're probably more open to these kind of paranormal experiences. And now, Cynthia, if you could pick one thing that you wanted readers to take from your story, Portrait of Rage, what would that one thing be?
Well, I think food for thought. I want to give them something to think about, something to mull over, and I want them to have the idea that there really is more out there that needs to be explored and accepted. Things happen every day that people just, they don't know how to explain it, so they just they just put it aside and don't think about it. So I think people need to open their mind a little more. And just learn, explore, and learn. Have questions.
Yeah, yeah, so, definitely, yeah.
So food for thought. I want to give people food for thought and think, well, you know, could that really happen? Could that really be real?
Yeah. And one of your themes in Portrait of Rage is child abuse. Why did you think it was important to include child abuse within your story?
Well, there's nothing more horrific than a child being a victim. I mean, the news tells of it every day. And when we hear of it, it strikes a chord in most of us that makes us want to turn away. I mean, it's bad, and it frustrates, and it angers us. But what can we do? It has nothing to do with us, right? Well, I wanted to send the message through Tom, the main character of my book, because in this case, Tom can't turn away. He's forced to deal with what's right in front of him. So I think it's important that it may be fictional, but there are people out there that are willing not to turn away and do something about it. So I think it's important because, like I said, there's nothing more horrific than a child being a victim. And no, I was not abused as a child.
I want to,
because I know people are going to think that when they read the book. And that's just not correct. I had loving parents, so. But this is an issue people need to take notice of,
Well, let me just share a little bit about the synopsis of Portrait of Rage. Tom, who is a painter, begins having nightmares of tortured young girls shortly after moving into his new home. He's lulled into a trance and he paints the Rage Collection, featuring the children that haunt his dreams. When word spreads about the collection, Tom becomes a prime suspect. Realizing that he hasn't been dreaming at all, he begins a deadly race to find the killer before it's too late and someone he loves becomes the next victim. Where did this all come from, dear?
Well, I told you. I had gone to bed one night. And I was in that state where you're more open and your guides and loved ones can visit you more easily. And I was shown this story. I had beginning, middle, and end. And I jumped up, and I had an outline within just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So I was given this story. It's a story that needs to be told.
Absolutely. And you've done it beautifully. I love that. You got your outline, got up. How long did it take for you to write the actual story?
Well, on and off, about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Until I decided, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is good. And people started telling me, why aren't you publishing this? So I started looking into publishing, and you know, here I am. So.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we can share you with our listeners. And I'm very glad we're going to share our sponsors right now. And we'll be back with Cynthia Wise.
Come explore with Clyde McCauley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny, mixed-up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy. And delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. January Jones presents Drs. Ed Feiereisen and Bob Ruotolo, co-founders of Motive Creations, as sponsors. For those seeking more empowerment and control over their happiness and well-being, you have come to the right spot. MC365 provides the necessary tools and techniques to make your life even more spectacular. Today is the perfect day to start your journey to become happier and healthier. Our mission is to help you achieve yours. Seeking to reduce stress? Start now. Want a better relationship? Start now. Increase your self-esteem? Start now. Do you want more passion in life? Start now. Go to www.motivecreations.com. That's M-O-T-I-V creations.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Also, my book is available at audiblebooks.com. Today, I am visiting with a very, very priceless personality today, Cynthia Wise, and she is the author of Portrait of Rage. Cynthia, before we go on with the interview, could you share your website information and share with our listeners how they can get your wonderful book?
Okay. My website is CynthiaHWiseBooks.com, and you can get my book through Amazon, Shop Lock Budget. Hang on, I'm trying to see this.
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble. Shop, yeah. Booklogix.com. And through my website. So you can really, It's available in a lot of different venues. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your website is wonderful. I have it up here in front of me. And it's the Marcel Experience, a paranormal mystery series. Now, share a little bit with my listeners what drew you to writing about the supernatural.
Well, as I've said through the years, I've had experiences that, you know, I couldn't deny.
Uh-huh.
It's just part of who I am, the supernatural, the paranormal. It's my interest. It's just part of who I am. And like I've said before, you know, recently I have learned meditation and how to talk to my guides. I've met my guides, or a lot of them, several of them. I have met my guardian angel.
Oh.
Yes, his name is Samuel, by the way. He's a big guy.
okay.
I talked to my mother, who's been deceased for about 10 years now. She's one of my guides.
Uh-huh.
I talk to her every day. It's just part of who I am. So that's what
now,
the natural.
Share with my listeners what it's like to talk to one of your 11 guides or your mother. Do you, like, you know, I communicate myself, but I do it like when I go out in the morning and I take a walk with the dog and I kind of open myself up to the universe. How do you communicate?
I just talk to them. I know their names. I talk to them out loud. I talk to them in my mind. Most of the time it's while I'm meditating. They step forward and they give me messages if I need to hear something, if I need to know something. It's mostly through meditation. And meditation is a wonderful thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you meditate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I have to, sweetie, I have to meditate to get out of bed in the morning. Of course I meditate. And I'm always open to the universe, which I call, you know. I don't think I have 11 guides, and I certainly don't know their names. You know all their names?
I do. My life guide is Christopher. I met him during the meditation. And then there's Peter. He is he was a mentor in another life, in a past life. He was a mentor of mine.
Okay.
And then there's Nathaniel. I could go down the list. Yes, I know their names.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it. And then we've got Nathaniel. I like this.
Oh,
now, are these guys people you knew in a past life, or what's the connection?
I think some of them may have been. I think some have are family members that maybe I never met.
Uh-huh.
But they each have a role. Like I said, my life guide is Christopher. Nathaniel, he steps forward when I need a more diplomatic viewpoint.
Okay.
And then I have a financial team, Philip and Greg, that help me make financial decisions.
Okay.
I consult with my guides.
Okay.
On a daily basis, yes.
Now, I think you've got a book here. I think you have a book. I think you need to write about your 11 guides. When your guides, do you have a visual idea of them in your mind, or are they just communicating verbally?
No, I know what they look like.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. What they look like. They have, well, the most of them have a good sense of humor.
I like that.
But that is a project for later. I have that on the back burner, or what you were talking about. I have that on the back burner, so that will be a project in the future.
Okay, I want that to be a project, because once you get that pulled together, I want you right back on the show, because as you can tell, I'm really into this, and my listeners are too. And, you know, this is something that so many people are experiencing day to day, every day, and it's something that so many people have been reluctant to talk about. Now, I bet you've experienced that. When you talk about this, do you get people that kind of pull back from you?
Not really. For the most part, they've been very receptive. But if they're skeptic, they can be skeptic all they want. It doesn't matter. I mean, I know what I feel, and I know what I believe, and I do believe that they will come around eventually. So,
yeah. I think more and more people are being open to it, and I certainly am very open to this interview. I'm open, actually, what I'm really open to is I want to hear what your financial guide has been telling you, because I'm very interested in that, and I'm very interested in sharing my sponsors with all of you. We'll do that right now, and we'll be back with Cynthia Wise, the author of Portrait of Rage.
Rachel Carson wrote, "Spring now comes unheralded by the return of the birds, and the early mornings are strangely silent where once they were filled with birdsong. Little did she know the movement she began would lead to the destruction she envisaged, announcing the release of John Graves' new book, Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. Today's wind turbines kill millions of birds, require backup power plants, are harmful or deadly to humans, have enormous costs. There are alternative wind turbine choices. The wealthiest benefit from wind. We pay higher prices. The story is conservation, the environment." "I've seen dead people," author Teresa Sneed says with a grin. "They've spoken to me." Teresa Sneed writes fantasy, mystery, suspense, and realistic paranormal with a touch of sweet romance. She writes what she knows, full of insight into the spirit world, coupled with a panache for humor. Her No Angels series about angels and demons interacting with the living are simply fascinating. Sneed has three more series as well, from Wizards and Dragons to Witches of Salem. Visit TeresaSneed.com for more information, or search for Teresa Sneed Books on Amazon.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast Success Stories with January Jones. And my guest today is Cynthia Wise, who is the author of Portrait of Rage, which is a fabulous killer title. Now, Cynthia, who are some of the authors that inspired your writing? Who are your favorite authors?
Oh, that list is long.
yeah, I know, me too.
Yeah, Dean Koontz was the first one that I just fell in love with him. John Stahl, Iris Johansson, Deanna Gabaldon, just to name a few.
Okay, and who has been the biggest motivator for your writing career?
Just the love of telling a good story is a big motivator. My imagination, I just love letting my imagination flow. When a story takes hold and it won't let go until it's told, that's another motivator. Also, my biggest motivator is my husband, Cliff.
Oh,
he's my biggest fan.
Okay. And how long have you been married?
12 years.
Okay. Oh, heck. Sweetie, you're newlywed. I've been married 45 years.
Well, that's good for you. That's good.
Yeah. And this is a second marriage for both of us, so that's really amazing. Your husband, he's very supportive of your writing. And what does he do while you're busy writing all the time? What's his life like?
Well, He works at a plant down here called Lockheed Martin. And he takes care of our two dogs, and he just takes care of me while I'm riding. So he's a sweetheart.
Oh, well, writers do need to be nurtured, and it's wonderful. And, you know, Lockheed, my first husband he worked for Lockheed Aircraft many, many years ago. And you're in Georgia. Do you have a lot of family around, or is it just the two of you and the dogs?
I have family in North Georgia. My daughter right now is living in North Carolina. And she's probably listening to this. She's a big fan, too. She helped me edit Portrait of Rage and Eyes of Autumn. So she's tickled pink about this. So she thought it was a good idea that I took Portrait of Rage and Eyes of Autumn and made the Marcel Experience series. So I think I mentioned it before. Eyes of Autumn is coming out in October.
Oh, okay. And what's the next one?
The Portrait of Rage is the first book. Eyes of Autumn is the second book. And I am currently working on Sifting Through Shadows, the third book of the series.
Oh, wow. I love these titles. Where do you come up with these titles? Are those channeled to you from the other side?
I would say yes, they are. They just come naturally. It just seems right. When I think of that name, it just seems right to put it to that book. So, yes, I would say that they're channeled. But I have my fourth book. I haven't titled it yet, though. It's in the back of my mind. I think I know who my main characters are going to be.
Uh-huh.
They're
going to
be brought forward from Sifting Through Shadows. So all these books have characters that are brought forward as new characters are introduced. So that gives a kind of homey feel for readers because they already get to know some of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I like stories that you feel like you get to know characters through different sets of circumstances, and each book is a different set of circumstances, a different aspect of the paranormal. So each story is totally different, but like I said, they're all umbrellaed under the Marcel Experience. So all these books are experiences created for the characters involved. So, and I have enjoyed writing them so much, tremendously.
Oh. Yeah, I can tell. I can tell you have a passion for what you're doing, and which is why you are a success story that I'm thrilled to be sharing with our listeners. Now, Cynthia, what advice would you give someone out there who is listening to us, and they've got their book, they're working on it, working on it, and you know how that goes, and they haven't gotten it published yet? What advice do you have?
Well, for one thing, in my case, life had a tendency of getting in the way. You know, I mean, you have to live your life, right? But the thing is, you cannot give up on your dream.
Okay.
You cannot give up on your dream.
Right.
Also, writers tend to fall in love with their written word because it's their baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but if you want to be published, you have to be ruthless because you have to edit. And you have to edit, then you have to edit again. You have to be ruthless with your words, with your baby, because professional writing is an extremely competitive field. So you need to make your manuscript as clean, precise, and tight as you can while maintaining a consistent flow. So that would be my advice. Just don't give up on your dream and be ruthless when you...
That is great advice. And also, I'm going to throw in that I think it's very, very important to find an editor who can work with you, who will be objective. And the editors, they're pretty good at being ruthless.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And also, I the other advice I always give our listeners who want to become writers, you have to get a fantastic cover. You have to have someone design the cover for your book professionally. You have to have a cover that people will look at and remember. And I'm looking at your cover right now, and Portrait of Rage is a fabulous cover, Cynthia.
I just fell in love with it when I was presented the proof. We just ran with it. It was wonderful. So there wasn't, I didn't make that many changes. It was just, they were just little small things. BookLogix here, they're doing a wonderful job for me. So
good.
If anyone needs a, or thinking about going into self-publishing, I would totally recommend BookLogix. They're in Alpharetta, Georgia. So they've done very well.
Wonderful. My son lives in Cumming, Georgia, so I'll have to stop by and say hi to them the next time I'm visiting in Georgia. And I want to invite you back on the show whenever your next book comes out. Okay, Cynthia?
I would be thrilled to talk to you again, January. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
It would be wonderful. And to my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Cynthia as much as I've enjoyed sharing her with you. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Cynthia. Isn't she amazing? You know, this is a show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become a successful writer, too. I'd love to welcome you to our No Whining World. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. You know, we love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for writing success. Now, remember my mantra. If you think it, then you can do it. So, dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, Cynthia Wise. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones.
We've got the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes. It's all we're in love the way I lost my faith. After all these heartaches.
Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.